Aren't you glad you came to church today?
Amen.
Not gonna sing. Not gonna do it. Nope. Haven't. Not gonna start now. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me and to the book of John. John chapter 8, as we sort of bring down the conclusion of looking at growing in Christ, at as we've been looking the past 4 or 5 weeks in our series, and man, this just sort of caps it all off, and I'm excited about that. This morning, we're going to be looking at effective obedience, being obedient to Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38, if you'll follow along as we read. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He said, "I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father." Join me as we pray one last time. Lord God, we thank you. You have heard the last few weeks we have been talking about Christian growth. And when we talk about growing in Christ, when we talk about maturing in Jesus Christ, it is an awesome thing for the Christian. It's a wonderful thing that God has given us the ability. God has given us through His Word. God has given us through the Holy Spirit inside of us. God has given us this blessed wonderfulness about growing in Christ, about maturing in Christ. Because He has given us Jesus as our example. Now, when you look at Christ, you see power, yet a gentleness in Jesus. When you look at Jesus Christ, you see a majesty in Him, but yet a humility. When you look at Jesus Christ, you see a tremendous firm conviction and yet an openness and an approachability in Christ. Yes, He is God's Son, but He is approachable. And when you see Jesus, you see a sensitivity and you see an empathy. But there's also a complete and unqualified joy in the life of Jesus Christ. When you see Him, and you know the Bible says that we can be like Him, and when you see all of that, when you hear all of that, when you read about Christ, when you see all that God has done through Jesus Christ, when you see that God has said we can be like Him, when you see in the Word of God that we are to be like Him, and we look around at our lives and we go, wow, I am nothing like that. I am acting nothing like that. I am living nothing like that. And so I must be a failure. You say, well, but I want to be like that. I want to be like Christ. I want to be strong but sensitive. I want to have an outgoing personality but also reachable and approachable. I want to have all of those things in my life. But man, it just seems like it's too good to be true. The Bible tells us the way that we get there is through a process called spiritual growth, or a process called Christian growth, how we can grow in Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. I think we're going to look today at one of the simplest of all disciplines, or all of the disciplines that we've been looking at. To me, this is the most simple one. It's about obedience, which is the simplest but the most difficult for us to live. Of all the ways in which we grow, of all the tools that we have for growth, we have to obey. Now, as we obey Him, we will change. We'll change our desires, our wants. Our want-to will change. What we desire will change. What we're looking at, how we act, how we react. All of those things will be changing in Christ as we look to God, as we grow in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, Paul says, "Work out your salvation with fear and with trembling." Now, it doesn't mean that you are to work out your salvation to be saved, to go to heaven. It's not that. It's something else. He means that we are to work out our salvation. We have already been saved. He doesn't mean work to be saved. He said once you have accepted Christ, you are to work in. You're to work through your salvation. You're to work out Christ in you. It's a little bit like making cookies. How many of you ladies like to make cookies or like to make cakes? Or how many of you guys like to eat cookies and eat cakes? Okay, all right. See, yeah, there's some of you are honest. Some of you are not. There's some in the balcony that are just with two hands going, love to eat, love to eat. Well, it's like when you make a cake, you're whipping up that batter. You know, I mean, you take that spatula and you got the batter and you're just whipping it up and you have to maybe throw in a chunk of chocolate every now and then. I mean, everything's better with chocolate on it. Everything's better with chocolate in it. And you throw in that chunk of chocolate and you look at it and you're whipping it up. And man, it just doesn't look right. So you throw in about a pound of butter. And you start whipping up the chocolate and the butter. And I mean, you're right there and you're just doing it. And, you know, you're working at it and you're working at it. You got that hand. You're just working it and working it. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, why don't you use those electric beaters? You're just destroying the whole illustration if you use electric beaters. You got to use a spatula. You got to work it up. You got to blend it all in. And you know, as you're doing that, as you're working that up, and as you're working through getting the chocolate and the butter and getting all the other, whatever it takes to make cookies, I don't know. I'll just go down to the store and buy them. But, you know, as we're doing all of that, and, you know, as you're going through it, I know there's a faster way in all the things that we look at, but in our lives, and I remember when my grandmother used to make cookies. Now, I don't know about you, but Granny's cookies were always best. Y'all agree? I mean, Granny's cookies, it didn't matter. And you know, there's always a fast way to do them. You can go out and you can buy cookies at the store. You can go out to the bakery and buy cookies, but Granny's were best. Now, would you all agree? I mean, how many, just close your eyes right now. Everybody just close your eyes and just smell Granny's cookies cooking. I mean, think about the oh, wow. Amen, you're dismissed. But we think about that. You know, we can go in and why do you think so many of these bakeries and why do you think so many restaurants have big ventilator fans outside? It's not so they can ventilate the air inside. It's so they can ventilate the smell. And as you drive by, it's like, ooh. I mean, this past week, we had some people, because Connie had the surgery, and thank you all for being praying for her, and had some people that brought us some meals. And this morning, I was thanking one of the couples that brought a meal and thanking the wife, because I knew that the wife had done the cooking, and thanking him. And the husband popped up and he said, how did you like the cake I made? And his wife looked around and said, it was a pie, dear. So I'm telling you, thank you, ma'am, for making the pie. And as we think about all that, but we so many times we want to do shortcuts. We like to do a shortcut here and a shortcut there. In the Christian life, in Christian maturity, folks, there are no shortcuts. We have to get in the Word of God. We have to, as he said, pray. We have to connect with God. And with obedience, there is no shortcut. With obedience, there is no electric mixer. With obedience, there is no fast way to do it. Now, three things I want us to look at very quickly. The essence of Christian obedience is not a bunch of do's and don'ts in our lives, but it's a personal allegiance, a personal relationship. It's a personal aligning our hearts, our lives with Jesus Christ. Verse 31, he says, if you continue in my word. He didn't say if you continue reading other books. He didn't say if you continue doing this. He said, if you read my word. I remember in seminary, I had a professor, and he brought in and he said, gentlemen, it was a New Testament survey. He said, this is your study book. This is your textbook. This is what we're going to go through. And there's always one in the class. Every class I've been in, there was always one. He raised his hand and the professor said, yes. He said, but all of the books that are out there that are written about the New Testament, why don't we study those? And I was waiting for some deep theological answer. And Roger, his answer was very simply this. He said, why study another book about the book? He said, why should you look at another book when you've got the book? If you don't know the book, the other book is not going to make sense.
And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool. And I have remembered that from just a few years ago when I was in school. Very few years ago. I've actually remembered that. But as we look at it, we think about the thing of obedience in our lives. And it's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. People look at the Christian life. People look at Christianity and say, well, I don't want that because if I accept Christ, if I get into church, if I do this thing, I can't do all the things that are fun. I can't do this stuff. I don't know about you, but have you ever been around a bunch of Baptists having a good time? Oh, man, you can, and you remember what you done the next morning. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's such a great time. You have fun and it always revolves around food and fellowship and fun and all that good stuff. And man alive, we were at a restaurant a few weeks ago, and people were just having a good time in the restaurant, talking and laughing and just cutting up. And people look over at us, and I heard one guy say, and they're drinking water. I said, yeah, we're drinking water. We're having a good time. We can have a good time in Christ. Folks, it's not about what we can't do. It's about what God, through the freedom of Jesus Christ, is allowing us to do. We have won the war, as he said. The battle is over. I mean, I'm telling you what, we need to celebrate. We need to be having a good time. The world looks at Christians and go, they're going to be like, I don't want to be like that. If that's what it means to follow Christ, I don't want to be like them. Bunch of old grumpy people. I've seen them come out of church. If you don't believe me, ask some of the waitresses that wait on you after Sunday service. Yeah, I've talked to them. They're like, are they part of your church? No, they're not. They go to the Methodist church downtown. Don't know them. And I have nothing against Methodists, you know. But we look at that and we think about it and people look at us going, well, I don't want to be like them. You know what? It's not that they want to be like us. I want them to be like Jesus, and I want us to be looking at Christ, and I want us to be like Jesus, not worry about don't do all the don'ts, follow all the do's. But in our lives, this obedience. And obedience in Jesus Christ calls for disciplining ourselves in God's truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like this thing of discipline. I don't like to be... I need to be, but I'm not as good as I ought to be. That's why cruise control in my vehicle is wonderful. Because I like to go faster than the posted speed limit. And so I know that when I get on the road, I've got to set it on cruise control. Because if I don't, I'll begin to start thinking, I'll begin to start talking. And the more I talk, the more I think, the more I sing to myself, the more I talk, the faster I get. And it's dangerous. Because some of these vehicles go faster than 65 mile an hour. And, you know, but this thing about disciplining ourselves. But once we get straight that Jesus is Lord in our lives, once we realize that He is our Lord, then discipline is a matter of disciplining ourselves to what He says and to what He wants. Or put it this way, obedience is more than detailed conformity to God's word. It's more than that, but it's definitely not less than that. Because verse 32, he said, you shall know the truth. Well, how do we know the truth if we're not in the word of God? Obedience is not a one-time thing where you say, okay, I've made God Lord. I've made God through Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I'm going to be obedient. I've made that decision. It is what it is, and there it is. Now, I'm done with it. Well, the meaning here involves knowing Christ and knowing Christ as the truth, who brings a transforming sense of freedom to our human lives. It's a statement about a living relationship with the Son of God who is the truth, who gives freedom to believing humanity, who brings freedom to us. When Jesus says, continue in my word, he does not mean run by and drive through a quick Bible verse or run through a quick prayer and say, you know, God, lead me through this day, or Lord, bless me now as I go to sleep, or bless the food. It's deeper than that. And it's deeper than getting into His Word and saying, okay, you know, you've heard me say this over and over again, you know, the old hunt and peck. And I heard a man one time, he said, I just, wherever my finger lands, that's what I'm going to do for the day. And he put his finger and he put it down and said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, Lord, I think I have hunted in the wrong place. And so, but we look at that and we think how simple and how quick it needs to be. It's more than that. Because obedience, my friend, and as we look at the Word of God, obedience plays a huge part in our lives as Christians. But we must continue in God's Word. We must continue in His Word daily. And then obedience is a way to freedom in our lives. The reason that we are freed by obedience is because we are obeying the design of the designer. We're obeying God's Word who has designed it that way. You know, people have a tendency to say, well, freedom is doing whatever you want. Now, if you know yourself, now I want you to think about this. If you truly know yourself, you realize you don't know what you want. Now think about that. If you know yourself, if you will be honest with yourself, you really do not know what you want. Let me give you an example, and it's a very personal one to me. But I would like to be slimmer. I'd like to be skinnier. I'd like to be less of me than there are. I don't know what other terminology I can put it, but I mean, I need to, all right, let me say, instead of skinnier, that sort of has a bad connotation. I want to be healthier. Does that sound better? I want to be healthier in my life. And I think healthier in my life, I need to be skinnier. I have been losing weight. But it's a struggle for me. It's hard. It's difficult. I don't know about you, but losing weight's the hardest thing in life I've ever tried to do. I mean, it's difficult to do. But now as I think about that, as I think about, okay, what do I want to do? What do I want in life? I want to be skinnier. I want to lose weight. I want to be healthier. But man, I want all the ice cream and I want all the chocolate ice cream with the fudge, and I want all of that too. And you say, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. If you want to be healthier, if you want to be skinnier, if you want to lose weight, if you want to do those things, then you shouldn't want the ice cream, and you shouldn't want the chocolate covering over it, and you shouldn't want the whatever the white stuff you spray on. I went totally blank. Whipped cream. There you go. See, some of you all are right down the line with me. You're already laying it out. You're already building up your Sunday right there. And so, you know, as we look at it, but what is freedom for me? To do what I want? Well, I don't know what I want. I mean, those are totally two different things. Very strong. As a matter of fact, they're total opposites. They're total contradictions in life. Which one will free me? I know which one will free me. Let me back up. My mom always told me, watch four-letter words. Don't say too many four-letter words. So if I have a change of lifestyle, doesn't that make it feel better? Doesn't it make it sound better? I'm not going on a diet. I'm changing my lifestyle. Now, if you believe that, it's still a diet. But if I diet, if I change my lifestyle, will that free me? It's hard. It's difficult. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I freely admit it. I mean, it's sort of evident that I do. I have an issue with weight. I like it. And it's difficult for me to lose weight. It's difficult. It's the hardest thing in my life, but I know that I need to be healthier. I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to be a great-great-grandfather alive. But I want to be healthy. I want to be able to move around. I mean, I want to be able to do those things in life that sometimes, you know, we're not able to do. I know some of you are runners. And God love your heart, but you all make me sick when you post this stuff online. But you do. I ran 5 miles today in 3 minutes and 7 seconds. You know, some of you are weightlifters. Some of you are in the gym. I rode 55 miles today on the stationary bicycle. Did you get anywhere? You know, that's the thoughts going through my mind. That's the ice cream side of me. Now, the healthy side of me, I want to be that runner. I want to go with the wind. I want to just fly right along. I have that vision in my mind, or the weightlifter, you know, picking up 450 pounds per arm and just doing all those things. And as I think about that, and I think about all of those things, and what I want to do, but what I'm doing is not what I need to be doing. How do we get to that point? Well, do you get a trainer? Do you get someone that will help you do? And you know, you can get a trainer. You can do all of those wonderful things. I've had a gym membership for years. I've never gone, but I've got a gym membership. All of the, you can do all of that, but until you convince yourself, until you come to the point of saying, I am going to be obedient. My doctor, I love Dr. Thampy to death. My doctor has told me you need to stop this and you need to do this. He said, I'm going to tell you a couple of things you need to stop doing, but here's about 8 things you really need to do, Jonathan. And I always look at him and go, Doc, but I really like doing the 2 that you told me to stop. He said, if you keep doing them, you're not going to be able to do the 8 that I want you to do. And it's not a matter of Dr. Thampy, because he's got degrees everywhere all over his wall. I mean, he's a super guy. And it's not about that he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's about I'm making a choice not to do them. God is telling us in his word, Jesus has said this right here. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do we want to be free in Christ? Yes. How do we do it? We get into his word. We follow his word. We grow in Christ. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, guess what? That's what we need to do. That's where we need to be. But it's so easy for us to look at it and say, but I don't want to. I don't have a desire to. I am learning. I haven't learned. I haven't succeeded yet. But I am learning. The more that I get into the Word of God, the closer that I grow to Jesus Christ, the more that I work out my salvation, whatever terminology you want to use, the more that I do that, the more that I desire to do it. See, until we start in His Word, until we get into His Word, until we learn about Him, until we learn about what He can do in our lives, until we can learn about what the benefits, if you want to call it, that God has through His Word, through Jesus Christ, until we begin to see that, we're just going to look at it and say, yeah, but it's a bunch of don'ts and it's a bunch of negative stuff. And I'm here to tell you, once we begin to taste, once we begin to smell, once we begin to feel, once we begin to see the wonders of God, the wonders that Jesus Christ has given us, the wonders that we have in the Word of God, we're going to desire them more. But I don't want to. And that's what we need to do today, is to change our want to. It's easy for us to say, well, it's not pleasant, it's not pleasing, it's not good, it's not all that, you know, the world says, and we can make excuses. We're the best I have found. We are the best today about making excuses. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too hard, too soft, it's too long, it's too short, all of those different things, unless it's something that we want to do. Because we'll do what we want to do it, when we want to do it. No matter what the situation is, no matter how difficult it is, I loved to bass fish. We lived in Somerset, right on Lake Cumberland. I mean, that's heaven down. I mean, it's just, and I'd go out and I'd fish, and there was times that it would be so cold that ice would be forming on the end of my rod. I'd be out there fishing, and people would ask me, are you nuts? No, it's fishing. It's wonderful. It's a great thing. But then I'd come home and we'd be at the farm and Connie'd say, honey, the cattle needs the water broke on the pond. Oh, sweetie, it's too cold. Oh, honey, it's just too cold to get out there. And she'd look at me like, never mind, I'll go do it. And I'd say, okay. But as we think about it, we think about our lives, we have a choice. And here's the choice you've got to make this morning. Number one, the choice is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, the choice is very simply to accept Christ and enter into a personal relationship. Now, Christian, here's where the choice you have to make. Because every one of you this morning will make a choice. You'll make a decision. You'll either decide that, yes, I'm going to follow God. Yes, I'm going to grow in obedience. Or no, I'm not. You're going to decide this morning that, yes, I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to learn. Had a good friend of mine years ago said, the day that we stop learning is the day we begin to die. And I believe that. We need to start. We need to continue to learn. There is no age limit in growing. There is no retirement in getting closer to God through Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do this morning? You're going to make an excuse and say, well, tomorrow, next week, I'll wait till next Sunday. Pastor, I'm going to wait just a little bit longer because I really enjoy what I'm doing. Folks,